This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
G'day, you are listening to RTR FM 92.1, The Sound Alternative. My name is Joni Boyd, and this is Indie Media, your alternative media program, here every Monday morning from 11 to 12. Before we get going, I'd like to acknowledge that we are broadcasting from the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people, and I'd like to offer my respects to them and their elders past and present, and acknowledge that this always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Yep, so like I said, this is the Indie Media Show. Cheers to Tom for the news headlines, and big ups to Jeff and the On The Record crew for another great show. You can catch them every day, every weekday from 9 to 11, and they will have all sorts of news and current affairs and tunes for you here on RTR FM 92.1. So today I am joined by Daniel Andreas Elias. Yes, I got it. hi, Daniel. How's it going?
Pretty good. Bit nervous, but good.
Bit nervous. Yeah, Daniel is a union activist and academic. You're at UWA.
Just doing my PhD at UWA.
You're doing your PhD at UWA. And working in Notre Dame, so you're all across the academic sector, and you are a volunteer with the National Tertiary Education Union.
Yes.
Yep. But you are not speaking on behalf of them today.
No, I am not.
But, you know, you're an all-around unionist, academic kind of guy.
Fingers in many pies.
Fingers in all the pies. yeah, we are going to be chatting about all things tertiary education in the lead-up to the upcoming election, talking about some of the rotten policies of the Libs and the state of tertiary education in Australia. Lots of casualisation.
Yes, horribly. I am experiencing it firsthand. I hate it.
Yeah, I read on the NTU social media feed that that like one in two academics are employed on a casual basis, like they have no long-term job security.
Oh, yeah. It's worse so in different universities. It varies across the sector.
Mm.
But if you like dig across further in, you realise that like the term sessional is just another word for like casual worker. So how many sessionals do you have? It's even more. So it's like combining casual and sessionals together, the amount of like precarious work is insane.
Worse than most industries, I imagine,
but yeah. Work sector in general.
Well, we will have a deeper chat about that. And you are listening to RTR FM 92.1. This is the Indie Media Show, your protest journalism kind of program. Activist journalism, I like to call it. But it seems we give it a different definition every week. Anyway, we are here with Daniel Andreas Elias? I'm so sorry. I should have asked you how to pronounce it before I came into the studio. Anyway, we're here with Daniel. He is a union activist for tertiary education with the NTEU, but not speaking on behalf of them today because I got you pretty last minute. we are chatting all things election, tertiary education sort of stuff, all sorts of issues to chat about today. How are you, Daniel?
Oh, good. A bit tired, but good. Yeah
that's fantastic. Yeah. It's going to be a good week,
yeah,
I think.
I think it's
going to
be great.
So starting things off, let's chat a bit about the government, the coalition's funding cuts in the latest budget for tertiary education. This is something they do pretty much every year, isn't it?
Yeah, but I would never act too surprised that the Liberals are doing what they are, because if I lean into my historical like training, I'm like, the Liberals have always been against universal education. It's like, there's no two ways about it. They opposed when Whitlam implemented it back in the 70s, and it's just been incremental dismantling of tertiary education ever since. And yeah, the way I see it being stymied is by just kicking out the Liberals, just like putting them last on your ballot, making sure that none of your vote flows towards them, because yeah, they're ruining the sector. Yeah.
Yep, and tertiary education is very important. What are some of their policies going into the election?
The Liberals?
Yeah.
I personally don't know. I just know that they've been, for the past few years, pushing for increased funding on STEM, like STEM programs, which also correlates with a decrease in funding with the arts and humanities, which, hey, that's my part.
Yeah.
That's where I'm an expert, for lack of a better word. Let's go with expert. So by doing so, you can see that the government's really trying to tailor the workforce to be part of the, like, science, technology, engineering.
Yeah, which all goes into, you know, mining and, you know, building big stadiums and things.
Yeah, a well-educated public that works in that sector is a happy Liberal government.
Absolutely, yeah. What are some of the other parties' policies going in? Like, what's Labor bringing to the election for tertiary education?
They're bringing... Well, the good thing about Labor is, well, for me.
we've all got different opinions here, and that's fine. It's a broad church here at RTRFM 92.1.
I'm an Albo fan. I've been an Albo fan since, like, Kevin Rudd. So I was a teenager when I first, like, realised Albanese was great. but, no, Labor's sticking with their usual policy of, like, making sure that education is in the front and center of the policy. They increase funding for universities because universities are suffering. And when I say that, I don't just mean the administrators of universities. I mean the academics. The amount of burnout is horrendous.
That's a big issue.
Yeah,
at the moment, isn't it?
I talk to the academics and the administrative staff, and just the funding cuts are a horrible burden on their well-being in general. I heard one academic say that if they're expected to work as much as they're doing, they're going to resign and quit from the university.
Mm. Yeah. Similar thing is happening in primary and secondary education. I chatted to another teacher unionist for secondary education, I believe, last week. And the workloads are just crushing everyone. You know, this person was doing like 80 hours a week and sort of had to step down from being full time and go into casual. And it seems like that's happening right across the education sector.
Yeah, there's a big push across the sector with a lot of unpaid labor, like a lot of overtime, which in turn, just you think about the hours unpaid work that they've put into, like, making sure that the service delivery for the students is good quality. Like, an academic doesn't spend 15 years of their life doing a PhD to get to the line to just be an administrator for the university. They want to get there to share their ideas and teach students and
do research,
not be doing like box ticking exercises.
Yeah. So how are the, like, upper echelons of the unis responding to these cuts?
It depends which uni.
Let's go UWA.
The upper echelons, I know UWA went under a restructure recently. And most, if all restructures are usually just, you look at a certain section of the university office that say, like, staff, student intake. They look at who's working there, who's been working there for about 10 years, look at all the jobs, look for, quote-unquote, inefficiencies.
Yeah.
People who
like
have
the
been,
humanities.
Like the humanities. Yeah. Like, people who've been working there for, like, 10 years and who are paid rather well and have, like, a very highly specialized role. And there's multiple people who have highly specialized roles in, say, student intake. And then they would sack those people in the restructure, in the guise of efficiency, and then recreate those people who had just been sacked into a new job, which is in a lower tier pay. And so, say, some new person who enters an administrative role at the university is now doing the job of somebody who, of two people, and is being paid less. Like, that is a generalized trend across the sector.
And it just happens over and over again until, you know, it basically people are just getting nothing and, you know, highly casualized. Are there other places that universities could be, you know, taking money from rather than wages for academics?
Not really.
they're running out of options with these funding cuts.
Yeah, you can't really do funding cuts without somebody suffering within, say, the apparatus of the university. The whole body of the university is essential to, like, for students to have a good time and for research to be carried out and for people to, almost like knowledge factories. I hate using the word factories, but it's a place where people go
to
learn.
I actually like that.
And you need the administration. They're an essential component to being able to do research.
So we're talking about casualization here. This is something you're experiencing yourself. What does that exactly mean for you?
For me, it means low paid and uncertain jobs. Uncertain career paths. And for a very long time, it's been about 2 years working in academia.
Yeah.
Or thereabouts. And I know, like, some of my colleagues and academic colleagues in different universities as well, they would get, like, recurring sessional contracts that only last a semester. And there is a trend within, like, across the workplace in general that, like, short-term contracts usually leads to... You can't get a good permanent full-time job if you're...
Like, if you're constantly casual,
if you keep getting 6 month contracts, you can't upskill, you can't do career development. It's harder to access career development funds.
Yeah.
For example, you're perceived as a more disposable worker, and therefore, like, there is no point in investing in you. Like you said at the start, there is the ratio between, like, casual and sessional staff, between permanent staff, is tremendous. And if you look at, say, if you imagine what management would be thinking if they think, oh, if we just make all these casual workers, like, permanent staff, what would they ask for? And they would ask for, like, potentially, they would ask for greater career development, which for management, it's, like, a horrible idea because that means they have to invest in their workers, which they don't want to do. Because the government's already cutting our funds, so how do we get around that?
What are some of the options that the union can is like taking and looking at? Because you've got a bit of a campaign around casualization at the moment.
At the moment, most universities are going into bargaining, so all I really can say, like, options, and I say this as a labor activist in general, like, join your union. That's the best way for every worker across the board to get better outcomes for your working conditions. And the same goes with university workers, whether they're admin or academic. Join the union, you have better bargaining against management or against... It is bargaining. you would get better... You do get better outcomes if your union is strong and bigger and better.
What does your, like, casuals campaign involve at the moment?
At recruitment.
Recruitment. You're just getting shoes in the door, boots on the ground. Building a stronger
Members base. The bigger members base, the better outcomes you get when you go into bargaining. It's very, like, it's key, basically.
What does bargaining involve then? When you say going into bargaining, that's like a back and forth between. Sorry, this is a question that we didn't prep before, but I'm just curious. Tell me about union things.
Union things. Bargaining is between the employer and the union itself. It's the And usually it's industrial lawyers who are engaging with management who have their own lawyers, or maybe not, maybe the management itself is.
Mm.
Most of the time, people in management have a law degree of some sort or a business degree of some sort.
Yeah, I imagine especially in the universities.
Yeah, so it's like two sets of lawyers who have a log of claims, who have their own, like, say, for instance, like, getting equal pay, that was a log of log claim a while back. And, like, recently when Notre Dame got their new, well, their EBA, their current contract, academic freedom of speech, like, that was a log claim. Mm. And we, like, as a union, went to the university and, like, we need academic freedom of speech. But, like, it goes, there's, like, the list goes on the
academic freedom of speech. What does that involve?
Basically, what it sounds like. It is, like, being able to speak your mind without having the repercussions of your, say, you upset an employer in your research, and being able to speak your mind without getting the sack.
You can go where the research is supposed to go without getting kicked out.
Yeah, without getting the sack.
Yeah, that sounds like a very important thing that you think would be, enshrined from the get-go with the university. So. So all this casualization and these funding cuts and the overwork, what are some of the risks for the academics and the teachers, and how does it affect outcomes for students at the universities?
Service delivery, quality of service delivery.
Mm.
Like, you can't get a well-educated, you can't really get a well-educated student if the teacher themselves are burnt out and not having a good time in their workplace. And it's a vicious feedback loop, really.
Mm.
Like, the worse the conditions are for work, the worst, well, not the worst, it's a very polemical statement to say the worst, but...
Polemical!
The worse it is, the worse it gets for the students. And you want a well-educated society to be a good democratic society, and a good democratic society needs a well-educated population. And if you cut funding to lower primary, secondary and tertiary education, then your democracy suffers and society suffers in general. And, like, you need a well-informed populace for a good society.
Absolutely. And it seems to me that that's kind of the agenda behind all these Liberal government funding cuts and dismantling of universities and forcing them into corporatization, being just a less educated population who are sort of easier to tell what to do, I suppose. That sounds a bit dramatic, but...
Yeah, it's a simplified... It's a simplified version, but yeah.
That's the poet's version.
Yeah. A good poet's version.
All right, I think we'll wrap things up there. Is there anything you wanted to add before we head to another track?
There's one last one. Like, always, my last hurrah is join your union, and especially coming up to the election, make sure that you vote Liberals last, and... Vote one Green or Labour, it doesn't matter. Just make sure the last number you put on your ballot is on the Liberals so that your votes do not go to them.
You heard it here, folks, on Indie Media here on RTRFM 92.1. Thanks, Daniel.
Sweet, thank you.